Good evening. Here's the 10 p.m. news with Harrison Ashu Tiku. First, the headlines. The November session has opened in the National Assembly and the Senate with a call on the lawmakers to vote a 2025 bill that reflects the aspirations of the Cameroonian people. Education stakeholders from more than five speaking African countries are brainstorming in Yaoundé on practical ways of introducing children to national languages. The Indomitable Lions are in Johannesburg, South Africa, well ahead of tomorrow's AFCON qualifiers against the Brave Warriors of Namibia. The news in full. The Senate has recommended that a bill on local taxation be tabled during the November ordinary session so as to enable local and regional authorities forge ahead with local development. This alongside the condemnation of some social ills and uncivic behavior of some citizens, the major highlight of the speech delivered on behalf of the Senate President by the First Vice President, His Majesty Abubakari Abdullahi, as he officially opens the third ordinary session today. Just after the opening plenary at the Senate, Doris Batetatoekwe talked to Senator Mbella Moki-Charles and Vaningangsin Mojigo, who now labor their plans for the November session.
I'm carrying the dreams and the aspirations of the people of the Southwest region into this session, hoping that I am going to articulate in a manner that will cause government and all the stakeholders of the budgetary process to address the needs and expectations of the people of the Southwest region. We are going to hit hard on the road network deteriorating situation in the Southwest region, which has been cause of concern from our electorate and, in fact, the citizenry of the Southwest region. I will want to highlight the abandonment of the Boya Reference Hospital and, of course, look at other areas which have to do with economic empowerment of our populations and the realization and reawakening of the major state corporations in the Southwest region that have been suffering from a near state of abandonment. The realization of major projects like the much talked about Tiko Airport and the Limbe Deep Sea Port.
Senator Vaningangsin Mojigal, representing the Northwest region. Going by my own observation and a national poll, people will want the roads, because the state of our roads in the cities and intercities are horrible. They can concentrate on the roads. It will help the population, because when the roads are passable, it's easier for people to evacuate their economic products into the markets.
The Speaker of the National Assembly, the Right Honorable Kaba Yegi Jibril, says a state budget which consolidates the country's achievements and reflects the aspirations of the Cameroonian people needs to be in line with the head of state's development agenda. He was speaking this morning at the opening plenary of the November budgetary session. Parliamentary Affairs correspondent Doris Batetatoekwe has a presentation of the speaker's speech.
A dense and elaborate address it was, with pertinent issues brought to the fore. Being a budgetary session, emphasis was laid on how to deliberate on the draft finance bill for next year, which will be tabled before the people's representatives in the days ahead for scrutiny. The Right Honorable Kaba Yegi Jibril reminded all that policy options and priorities of the 2025 state budget are enshrined in a circular signed by the head of state recently. As the lawmakers get to work, they have been advised to seek to consolidate achievements, further earn the confidence of the populace, and spur Cameroonians to massively endorse the vision of the head of state. Given that 2025 is earmarked for presidential elections, the House Speaker has called on government to do the necessary to ensure a peaceful atmosphere, rejoicing in the country's assets, which inspire robust growth. He vaunted the gains of the National Development Strategy, which have recorded strides in the import substitution policy. The National Assembly also salutes the aggressive industrial policy of the mining sector, which has made it possible to switch from cottage to industrial mining, granting job opportunities for the youth, a policy that could be replicated in the building materials sector. The remarkable increase witnessed in the production of cocoa in Cameroon was also highlighted by the speaker as a boost to the agricultural sector. Meanwhile, corruption gradually creeping in must be combated as cocoa farmers get incentives. Also, government has been exhorted to develop adequate infrastructure in order to solve the problem of inadequate power supply. Issues of special concern, such as the issuance of birth certificates, urban disorder, averting catastrophes, and universal healthcare delivery, were raised by the Right Honorable Kavayege Jibril at today's opening plenary.
There is Batita Toekwe. Medical equipments worth over 500 million CFA francs have been handed over to the Minister of Public Health by the United Nations Population Fund for some 25 schools of midwives and state-certified nurses in the country. This was in a ceremony chaired by the Minister of Public Health, Dr. Manauda Malashi, in the presence of the Director of the UNFPA Regional Office for West and Central Africa, Dr. Senen Hunton. Vanessa Wunang Sunamu.
Made up of ICT devices, simulation and didactic materials, the consignment of learning equipments has as mission to improve upon the training of medical personnel in Cameroon by reinforcing the learning capacity of some 1,000 student midwives and state-certified nurses per annum across Cameroon in optimal conditions to better care for patients in the country's health facilities in the most professional manner. The donation that falls within the framework of the project for the elimination of mother-to-child transmission of HIV prevention and management of AIDS in children and adolescents, abbreviated in French as PETVICIDAM, is funded by the Islamic Development Bank and testifies of the UNFPA's engagement in supporting the government of Cameroon in its health system transformation agenda. Dr. Senen Hunton is the director of the United Nations Regional Office for West and Central Africa.
The agency that I work for ensure worldwide that women do not die while they're giving birth, that pregnancies remain a choice, not a chance, and that there are no violence against women. But to do that, we rely on government making investments so that those who are trained to provide those services can provide quality services.
And in order to stay up to date with the knowledge acquired in their fields of study before entering full practice, the government has made provisions for the creation of simulation centers to be opened in the nearest future for trained midwives and state-certified nurses, where refresher courses will be delivered so as to curb neonatal and maternal mortality in Cameroon.
Education officials from Cameroon, Senegal, Togo, Burkina Faso, Benin, and other French-speaking countries are brainstorming in Yaoundé to develop a bi-plurilingual education program that will introduce children to their national languages at a young age. Details with Joyce Clifftata.
A new education program in the French subsystem of education is gaining traction in Cameroon, aiming to use local languages as a tool for learning. The Elang Afrique program has already been implemented in 43 pilot schools in the nation, with over 2,000 persons learning in languages like Douala, Ewondo, Bassa, and Fufudé.
Pedagogic advisor in charge of literacy, non-formal basic education, and the promotion of national languages at the food division, Mrs. Pan. We realized that our kids don't know how to read, so the program is to help them.
Education officials believe this approach can significantly improve learning outcomes as pupils can better understand and retain information when taught in their mother tongue.
The project officer of Elan Programme at the Institute of the Francophonie for Education and Training, based in Dakar, Marion Poutrel. The idea is to improve their literacy skills. It's important that we welcome them in the schools, speaking their own language, a language that they know and that they can already master. So it's easier for them to learn the alphabet.
The workshop, attended by representatives of other French-speaking countries to run till Thursday, will create room to discuss the expansion of the program and explore strategies for its successful implementation.
Joyce Cleave Tata, a delegation from the World Bank led by Mavi Memon, has visited beneficiaries of the safety net project in the Emana neighborhood of the Yaoundé 1 subdivision. The initiative primarily supports vulnerable groups, including internally displaced persons who have fled the ongoing crisis in the north and southwest regions of the country. The visit, which aims to assess the impact of the program, was supervised by Micheline Jor, the National Coordinator of the Adaptive Social Safety Net and Economic Inclusion Project. In the following excerpt of an interview, World Bank official Marvin Memon, who is also the chairperson of the Benghazi Income Support Program, Pakistan, underlines the importance of supporting families through the safety net project. She spoke to Patience Wingo.
The government of Cameroon, aided of course by the World Bank, is doing a lot for their people. And the more we can help them, the more we can make sure that their financial situation is sustainable. Every government needs sustainable financing. I'm from Pakistan. As any other government, they're facing three crises. It's called a polycrisis: COVID, conflict, climate change. And in the middle of that, they're also facing inflation and food insecurity. So it's important that we institutionalize this program. And I am very impressed with what I've seen. And I'm happy to see the will to do more, not just to feed their children. They're sending the children to school is super important, but also to do something with their own hands. So the government helps them, but I've seen that they're helping themselves. But we must help them help themselves more. So we must give them more skills.
The commander of the Sector No. 3 and the 31st Military Engineering Regiment at the Garoua Air Base 301 have been installed into their functions with a call to collaborate with the different units of the defense and security forces and stakeholders in the North region in a bid to maintain peace and stability. They were commissioned into their commanding roles by the commander of the 3rd Joint Military Region, Brigadier General Aga Robinson. Julius Neba.
Installing the two commanding officers at the Rumdiaja ceremonial ground in the presence of some of the region's top military officials, Brigadier General Aga Robinson alerted them that they are taking over command at a time when the North region is grappling with the fight against armed banditry and kidnapping for ransom, plus fake contraband products that are taking a toll on the region's population and markets, to number these. I encourage you to create collaborative networks with the other military units and security stakeholders in the region and to combat indiscipline within the ranks of the defense and security forces. The newly promoted regiment commanders, who have gained significant hands-on experience in and out of the country at different levels of their careers, say they are aware of the daunting task that lies ahead of them and are ready to face them head on.
We will greatly assist in the fight against the use of improvised explosives.
We will work in collaboration with the other military sectors and particularly administrative, religious and traditional authorities. And I wish to thank the head of state, Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, for his confidence in me. 49-year-old Colonel Nganjong Stefan Alexi is married and father of two, while 44-year-old Colonel Nkulunkulu William is married with six children. Julius Neba, Seri TV News, Garoua.
And out of the country, at least 35 people have been killed in a car attack in southern China. Police say a man crashed his car into a stadium in Zhuhai, where he ran down a group of people exercising on the sport track. The president of China, Xi Jinping, has promised severe punishment for the 62-year-old perpetrator. In sports, the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon are in Johannesburg, South Africa, for tomorrow's Day 5 match of the 2025 AFCON qualifiers against the Brave Warriors of Namibia. The head coach of the Indomitable Lions, Mark Breeze, and his players arrived in Johannesburg this evening after they were delayed at the Yaoundé Somaliland Airport for logistics reasons. Tomorrow's match against Namibia will start at 2 p.m. Cameroon time. And in more sports news, officials of the local organizing committee of the 9th edition of the National Games, known as Dixiad, say Yaoundé is more than 80% ready to host the events that will run from the 1st to the 21st of December. The Secretary General of the Central Region's Governor's Office, Simon Pierre Steele, who represented the governor, who doubles as the president of the local organizing committee, made the statement today after they visited 10 infrastructures to host the games. That brings us to the end of the 10 p.m. news on the national station of the CRTV, read by Harrison Ashu-Tiku.